Good morning, happy holidays, and welcome to the December 13th, 2018 meeting of the Code Enforcement Board. The meeting will now come to order. May we have a roll call, Madam Secretary?
Ms. Ruby? Here. Ms. McLean? Here. Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Ms. House?
Here.
Ms. Hines?
Here.
And Ms. Cummings?
Here. All right. Has everyone had a chance to look at the November? Now, these are the November 8th minutes, so we're going to correct that. It says November 13 on here, but it should be November 8th. So that the date needs to be corrected.
On the agenda.
Yeah. It should be 8 on the agenda. It says 13. And also, some of us were missing pages 11 and 12 in the minutes, which now have been provided to us. They just kind of slipped through the cracks. So make sure some of us got 11 and 12 and some of us didn't. So, but you should have them, you should all have them.
Including the two additional pages.
And change of the date, right. I'm just going to give everybody a second to look at them. Okay, everybody all set? Or do you need more time? You good?
I make a motion to add the additional pages to the minutes.
And to change the date.
And to approve the minutes.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Mr. Harrington made a motion. Mrs. Himes, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Does anyone need to disclose any ex parte communication?
Anybody not know what that means?
Okay. Do we have any announcements, Madam Secretary? Okay.
Case number one, CPB 10-18-120 at 846 Madison Avenue is in compliance 12-11-18.
Mm-hmm. Under continued cases.
Yeah.
Page 2. When did that come into compliance?
12-11-18.
Okay.
Case number 13. CB 10-18-137 is at 769 Greenway Place is in compliance 12-12-2018.
Okay. Anybody else have any announcements?
Now,
all right.
I want to ask a question on one of these cases that's marked in compliance. Do I need to wait till we get to that number?
It's on here and marked in compliance.
Yeah.
Well, we might as well wait till we get to that number then, okay. And then we can talk about it.
All right.
Okay. All right, everyone. Would the code officers please come forward and be sworn in? Okay, here's our procedure, everyone. We will be calling cases by number and for the most part in order as they are listed on the agenda. If there are any attorneys present that have to be in court, we'll hear those cases first. If any of the police officers are here that need to be on assignment, we'll hear those cases first, too. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you're not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner of the property. Our proceedings are all recorded, so please speak into the mic. The board hears from code officers first, and then you'll be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all of your responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify using the same procedure. If I don't think that we'll go past 11 o'clock, but if it looks like we will, then we will we'll take a break at 11. Now, there are two cases, and the people are here, who have medical issues. So we will let them be heard first. The first case will be number 25. It's a new case. And it is case CEB1218-168 at 1401 Mandrake Road. Please come forward.
Lynn Sorrow, 1091 Gulfview Drive, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Okay, Mr. McCoy and to Mr. Jackson. I'm in trouble. Go ahead. Good morning to both of you. Go ahead.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. This case is before you for a determination of compliance or noncompliance. It's for failure to obtain a rental license. The inspector is Jerome McCoy, and Mr. McCoy reports that the property remains in noncompliance, and he's asking for our next call for the property to be brought into compliance. I would tend to Mr. McCoy for any factual information that you need.
Okay.
Good morning,
everyone. Good morning.
Jerome McCoy, Code Inspector for the City. My credentials are on file. This is a poor rental license, and the inspection hasn't occurred.
Okay.
It's just never been scheduled. The owner hasn't called us to schedule a rental inspection. She's been noticed via certified mail, and the hearing notice had to be posted on the property. And still, the inspection wasn't allowed.
The whole house is rented, and
it's a single family residence.
Okay, is it rented? Is it occupied?
It is.
Did you have contact with the occupant?
When I went by to post the notice of hearing, the tenant was there, and she stated to me that that was for the owner. And I said, okay.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
So you were asked for
a
continuance?
No.
Well, this is a new case.
It's a new case.
So this
compliance
would be,
or non-compliance?
Yes, compliance, right. Non-compliance, so we're recommending next call.
Okay. Come on forward.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell me what's going on with the house.
I've owned the house since 2004. I rented it since 2007. It was inspected in 2007 when it was vacant. I've had the business license annually every year. I had no idea that I was required to have a rental license and an inspection. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Staff tells me that's been in effect since 2012.
It has.
My house is occupied. You're, by asking to go in, you're asking me to break one law, the Fourth Amendment, of my tenant's right to feel safe and secure in their house to satisfy an ordinance. And I can't break their Fourth Amendment rights. I'd be more than happy to show the house when it's vacant. The house is rented until May 31st of 2020. But I can't allow you to violate their Fourth Amendment rights.
Okay. That is not an issue for us. If there's a problem, if you feel there's a problem with the law, the commission needs to address that. That is not something we can address. The rental license law has been in effect since 2012, and it's what you have to have done now in the city in order to rent property.
Can I be grandfathered in?
No.
Well, if it's been in effect since 2012, what took the city 6 years to notify me?
You would have to ask your code enforcement officer that. They went around and did sections of, I can tell you that it's taking a long time to get around the whole city. We had so many, we have so many rentals in the city. So there were some that were done almost immediately, and they just worked their way through the city. So you may be one of the last, I don't know.
Madam Chair, I did have a question to respond to.
Go ahead.
Unfortunately,
this is working.
Is it you saying that the inspector can't enter, or is it the tenant?
Both of us. Neither of us want an inspector inside their house. We don't want an inspector going through their medicine cabinet, opening drawers, going through closets, under sinks. That's a violation of their privacy.
Okay, well, that's not what... Well, I think, hold on. I don't believe that's what they do, but here's the question. I don't believe, and the inspector would testify that he hasn't had that conversation with the tenant. The typical lease agreement is a lease agreement where the tenant has possession and control, and they'd have the right to allow the inspector if they so elect. So I don't know if they elect to or not.
They don't want code enforcement in.
Okay, well,
I have the checklist that has 27 items and one marked other. Other could be opening their medicine cabinet, going through their clothes drawers, and I can't allow that.
Hey, ma'am, they don't do that. That's they don't have them. They don't go into someone go to medicine cabinets.
Well,
they do have the right under the law to check to see if there's a safety, health, welfare situation, and that doesn't violate anybody's Fourth Amendment rights.
My house is not a public nuisance. Then if what you're
saying is determining
perfectly, if this is a public safety issue, why not then? Is every single house in the city inspected?
Because they don't rent every single house in the city.
It's discriminatory against renters.
This is, as I said, this is the law that this board follows. We don't decide whether it's an amendment right, not a right. We have to follow the law. If you have an issue with the law, you need to contact your commissioner and the commission.
Well, Madam Chair, I do want to clarify one thing. If indeed the tenant is the one that's objecting to an entry, then the city will seek an inspection warrant to go ahead and proceed with accomplishing the requirements of law.
Okay.
I have.
But we'll need to know that the tenant, the one that has possession and control, is prohibited.
And how would we get to know that?
The inspector will follow up with the tenant. He's made that effort, and he's been advised.
Well, because the first notification here was in September, so I'm sure, you know.
He's made that effort. Mm-hmm. He's been informed by the owner that the tenant was out of town, but of course, the possession and control is within the hands of the tenant.
Okay. So the issue before us that we're going to rule on as a board is whether or not this property is in compliance. So the chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent non-compliance in order for the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is 1/2/2019, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Himes, second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Can I say something else?
What you have to do is talk to, if you want to say something else, is talk to the inspector if there's something further that you'd like to talk about. All we're here today is to find out.
You're going to go get it. You've indicated that your tenant doesn't want an inspection.
Both of us.
So they're going to check with the tenant to see if that's the case. If it is, they'll get an inspection warrant.
I have a letter from my tenant.
Okay. Please make sure that she gets a copy of that.
Can you make a copy of that?
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay, that's it. Thank you. All right, we'll move to case number 18. Oh. That's under new cases, too.
What's the case number?
18. 12-18-159, Audrey Houston. Is Audrey available? No, this is 727 School Street, case number 18.
My name is Audrey Houston, 727 School Street, Apartment 1, Daytona Beach, Florida, 32114.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we'll hear from the inspector and from Mr. Jackson first, and then we'll give you a chance to have your say. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance for several violations, including failure to obtain a rental license. The inspector is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy reports that the property remains in non-compliance, and he's asking that this respondent be given until next cutoff to come into compliance. I attend to Mr. McCoy.
Morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I'm asking for the next cutoff for this property. It is a case that's been going on for quite a while. However, it's been some extenuating circumstances with the storms and stuff that I couldn't address with roof damage. So time was permitted. The things in the property, they still exist. Inside the apartment two is where they, that began with a tenant complaint. The tenant had to be evicted, and a lot of the work that needed to be done was also inside of the apartment that couldn't be reached by the owner until the tenant was out. They're out, so I'm expecting that the owner will be able to address these issues now.
Who is the owner?
Jerry's going to be enough time by January 2nd. It's pretty long. It's like two weeks away. See, there's extenuating circumstances.
I originally said that it could be addressed in by the next cutoff, but his permit's going to be needed with that roof and some of the interior issues that's inside, that they're going to need permits as well. So,
okay. Thank you.
So there's more than one apartment here.
How many apartments are there?
It's four apartments, on the parcel. However, the apartment that has the damage that was the tenant complained about.
Yes.
She was in apartment two, and that's the apartment that I inspected.
Has there ever been a business tax on this property?
I can't find a business tax on that property. And that was also cited for no BT, no RTO.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ms. Houston, what would you like to tell us?
Oh, that I'm working on it, and I will be finished by March. Could you give me to March?
Well, I think we'd like to see a progress report. I would personally like to see a progress report rather than just let it wait till March. It looks like there's a lot that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. And Ms. Houston, I think what we're saying is that, you know, next month come in and show us
again
with
him. We need to see what's been done. Okay?
Yes.
All right, so
are we
are your extenuating circumstances that you Mr. McCoy mentioned extenuating circumstances. What are those? There were extenuating circumstances? Let him address that. Thanks.
Yes.
Okay.
It was the storm that damaged the roof.
Okay.
Like I said, the tenant, she was had complaints about the interior, but the storm came after, and the roof that was so badly damaged, where the water started intruding into the
right.
apartment, and it damaged
okay.
the walls in there.
Okay.
Yeah, if I could, of course, just saying that this started back in 2017, right?
That's correct.
October. So
yeah.
Since the 2017 day, we've had the right. hurricane.
Yes, ma'am.
And
right.
The more recent hurricane.
Yeah, two hurricanes. Right. Yeah.
The more recent one being mm-hmm. last... this fall?
2 months ago.
Okay.
A year ago.
Yeah, it was a year ago. Yeah, okay. Okay, all right.
So we're asking for non-compliance and a
progress report. And then we'll determine when this all needs to be done. But let's see what you're doing to get moving on this. Now, is the roof on here?
It's a tarp that's on the roof now. But the damage is there.
Okay.
It's vacant, yes.
Thank goodness.
John Cecil, yes. John Cecil, the rehab inspector, he went out and he looked at the property as well. I don't know if that's in my notes, but...
Okay. So, the chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent non-compliance and order a progress report at the next meeting, which will be... 1/10/2019 okay. and allow respondent. Well, are we going to set? Do you want to set a compliance date?
No,
or and a compliance date will be determined at that time. At
realistically,
that
being the holidays, I don't
yeah.
think
right.
the progress report should be until the February meeting.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think
okay.
probably more realistic.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order a progress report at the 2/14/2019 meeting.
And
at that point, we'll determine a compliance date. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Mr. Harrington made the motion. Ms. McLean, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, and post. Okay, so you come back here in February and tell us what you've done, what's been done, and then we'll give you a date where the rest of it needs to be finished, okay?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. McCoy.
McCoy.
Okay.
Paul,
okay, thank you all.
Okay. All right, now we'll go back to the beginning. And the beginning is a lien review. Lien review 1, CEB 01-18-17, 116 Madison Avenue.
Nicole Castle, 1116 Madison, and I'm for the property manager.
Your name is, I'm sorry, Nicole.
Nicole Castle.
Castle.
And you are?
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Okay.
What did you say your response?
We're the property manager.
You're the property.
Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you as for lien review. And, lien review starts with a request from an applicant saying they want relief for the lien that's been opposed. This is a lien that went to its maximum $15,000. The applicant did submit a letter showing all of the things step by step, that being the property manager. One of the things that was really of concern, though, was that it was a whole year before it came into compliance.
Correct.
And almost on a monthly basis, the board
Absolutely.
Was giving extending all the way until starting in October and all the way
mm-hmm.
until June.
Mm-hmm.
So for 8 months, another chance to get it done. And it just didn't happen. And ultimately, in the June meeting, the respondents did not appear. There was no report that the inspector had or was able to give on any new or additional progress, and so as a result, the board made a finding, and it remained in noncompliance up until this October. The staff is asking for recognizing that they were doing stuff, but it just was not enough to get the job done. The staff is agreeing to or asking to a reduction to $5,000, and that's the recommendation of staff.
Is this
payable in 30 days?
Payable in 30 days.
Is this a multi-unit property or a single-family home?
I don't know that answer. It's a single-family home. And
has it been occupied all this time?
I have to look to Mr. Stinson.
Well, there was a tenant or many tenants in there, squatters or something. Why don't we have Mr. McCoy?
Yeah, I don't remember the case.
Mr. Stinson testify, and then you can come up and tell us what you'd like.
Good morning, John Stinson, Code Inspector with the City. My qualifications on file. The case, the original case began as a. I was notified by a school resource officer, a police officer, about a child that was living in the property. Come to find out that the property had no utilities. Mm-hmm. After a site inspection, the tenants at the time did not allow me entry to the interior, but as you can tell, the exterior was in disrepair.
Mm-hmm.
And as Mr. Jackson had already said, it just took a very long time to bring the property in compliance. The tenants wouldn't allow the property management to come inside to make the repairs. The management company was not confident that if they made the repairs, the tenants would leave it there. They were under the opinion that they would destroy the place after the repairs were done. So they finally got through the eviction. I'm assuming it took probably longer than usual.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally brought it into compliance, like you said, in October.
Okay.
So that's basically where we are now.
Okay. All right.
So,
go ahead.
So the basic problem is the people renting the property were the ones holding things up, not the owners.
That's correct.
Okay.
Were they paying the rent? Were they were evicted for non-payment of rent?
Yeah. Let now, good morning. Let me ask you a question. Who is Mary Lynn?
She's a broker. That's my grandmother. She couldn't be here, unfortunately.
Okay, because that's who's been, you know, writing the letter. So, do you work for her?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm the one who's done all the work for the eviction up to the point where it was in the court's hands. The tenant, when we took it on, the tenant was very... didn't want us anywhere near her. She didn't want us in the property.
Right.
She stopped paying rent, and then we had to take her to court. The court gave her a certain amount of time until we could get out. We've asked her, when we started getting these, you know, code violations, we asked her to please let us in to continue to fix. When we got into the house after she had vacated the house.
When did she vacate the house?
In March.
Okay.
The house was completely not livable, so
right.
The owner had to completely go inside and redo everything. The reason we haven't been in compliance is because the windows we had to wait on were back ordered. We ordered them in June, and they did not get put in until October. And that's due to the hurricane.
And everything else was done in June?
Correct. We had a few things on the list that were waiting on windows. We have three inspection reports that stated we are waiting on windows. The tenants in there now are in compliance, and everything is up to code.
Okay. You have new tenants now.
Yes.
All right. I have some questions. I don't know if these are questions or not, but we worked with the person, the real estate company, and the owner of this building. They came back month after month after month. We gave them extensions. Because we realized there was a tenant problem. Once that was over, it's just a very long timeline to address these issues, considering the fact that we kept extending it. I mean, if you look at your minutes, the case came to us, I think, in January. The notification was the 31st of October previous year. The case came to us in January. We heard it again in February. That's when I think the eviction was. We heard it then again in March. We heard it then again in April. And I think, and we heard it then again in May. And at that point, we imposed the fine because the rental inspection was held in May and it didn't pass the inspection.
He was still working then.
What do you mean he was working?
He didn't have cabinets in the house and the owner was
okay.
Doing all the work.
All right.
So you had a vacancy in March in a place that was a... Have we ruled it in non-compliance? Or
yes,
we just,
in January we ruled it in non-compliance.
So if it was in non-compliance, was there a rental license in effect from a previous time that took effect? Or how did you rent this with no rental license?
We've had a rental license. We admitted one in January, and it didn't get approved till May.
So you didn't have one, regardless of when it was approved.
Well, there was no tenant in there after we evicted her, and we had just taken this property on. We got thrown into a mix of things.
Right.
But you know the property's in non-compliance, and you put new renters in.
When we got the renters didn't go in until after the new rental license was approved.
I guess I'm confused.
Okay.
You got
well, at the time,
license.
The timeline on this is confusing. All right, who's Mr. Allander, number one?
Jim Allander is the owner.
That's the owner, so he hasn't bothered to show up here.
He's
owned it since 2009. Correct.
Is the owner local?
Yes. And she's lived in there since he's bought it, the tenant that we had to evict.
There's no recourse against the tenant that you evicted.
No, I'm concerned about the new tenant. If you're still working on the property.
No, it's done. We got it.
It's in compliance. They have it.
We have passed.
They're in compliance
we
now. Or
passed.
They couldn't come before.
So we're
us.
Just asking for the lien review on the previous
right.
thing.
Right. Okay. And I'm just trying to figure out whether we want to reduce it or not under the circumstances.
I've got it clear now.
Okay. So what are your thoughts? What's anybody's thoughts?
Well, right now it's $15,024.
Right.
The staff is recommending $5,000.
All right.
Right now.
So, but he has been collecting rent, or the owner has been collecting rent for 8 years, probably?
No. The tenants have only been in here.
No, I'm talking about the prior tenants, the one that has to be evicted. I mean, he's owned the house for 9 years. To your knowledge, he's collected rent.
From my knowledge, yeah. Like I said, we just took it on.
They took it on in October. You took it on.
Right. Okay. But he has been consistently probably collecting rent.
Right.
As far as you know.
Well, except for that one tenant that was, I mean, we don't know.
There was a gap in between.
Right.
Two tenants
whatever. Okay.
The work. But prior to that, for probably 8 years, he'd been collecting rent.
Okay. Anybody else have? What do you think, Mrs. House?
Well, I'm okay with a reduction, but maybe not to that extent.
Okay.
And I would like to propose a reduction of $5,000 and the remainder being the fine.
So are you going to staff request?
All right.
Is
your mic on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a soft speaker.
There you go.
I would like to propose a reduction of $5,000 from the total fine that is being imposed, and the remainder be the charge.
Which is $10,024. Anybody else have a comment?
I guess I'm not for a reduction.
Okay.
Just because he's owned it a number of years, collected rent off of it. The house continued to deteriorate while he owned it. Even if he pays this reduction, he's still way ahead. I mean, even if he pays this fine, he's still way ahead. I mean, he could have been keeping that property up all along.
But no.
That's just my thought.
Okay. Other thoughts?
I agree with Ms. McLean. You know, there's no reason for anybody to have people live in conditions like that. You know.
They may have created a lot of the conditions. That's something you have to, you know. And they did move to evict those people.
After.
Yeah.
After he got caught.
Right, exactly. And I agree with that, that it took too long to.
It did, but
she's lived like that the entire time she's been there. He has pictures of when she moved in and when she moved out.
Right.
But he never went and checked her.
She wouldn't let him in.
Yeah.
She won't let him in. She was. The worst that you could think of.
When and how long?
I have rental property in South Daytona, and I've had some pretty terrible tenants, so I know what when you walk in and it squishes from dog urine, it's pretty bad.
It's rough. The house was, it should have been torn down.
We'll hear from
that's how bad the inside was. Of what she
well, you know, it. Okay. All right, so we're just trying to figure out if we want to reduce it and how much. Who else has thoughts on this before I go ahead?
I agree with the reducing it to the amount to be paid because when you do have tenants and they don't allow you in there, you can only do so much.
Except you also have the police escort. The owner can go into the house. It's their house, and the police can take them in.
Because it's ultimately his responsibility to keep that property up so that the rest of the neighborhood remains safe for everybody else who lives there. And so, I mean, I understand I have rental properties as well. It's difficult to get rid of renters. But it all stops on him and what he allows to happen on a property he owns.
Okay.
That's just my thought.
Gentlemen. What do you over there? What do you think? You want to weigh in on this? All right,
I can live and second Mrs. House.
Okay, there is a motion on the floor for. Okay. There is a motion on the floor to reduce the lien amount $5,000 to $10,024 payable in 30 days. And is there a second? And second by Mr. Harrington. So let's vote on that motion. All in favor? Well, let's have a roll call.
Ms. Pettit.
You're first.
I know. I'm thinking. Thank you.
I'll go with the motion.
Yay.
Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Mr. Harrington.
Yes.
Ms. Halicombe.
Yeah.
Ms. Hyman.
Yes.
Ms.
McLean? No.
No. Okay, 5-2 motion carries. Okay. So we've reduced the amount $5,000. And so.
To $10,024.
To $10,024. Did I? Isn't that what I said?
Mm-hmm.
We reduced it. $5,000.
Not $2,500.
Right. Not $2,500. Okay. So it's $10,024. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Before we go on this case, can anybody check your mics, please?
Okay.
Yeah. Mine's here.
Mine's on. How do you check them? Hello.
Hello.
I think mine works. Me?
You can hear mine.
I don't think yours is on.
Little red button should be on.
Hers is not working. I don't know.
No.
I think it's screwed up with the timer over here.
And the only reason we're worried about that is
because
this is being broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Is it telecast or broadcast? I thought they weren't telecasting for what? Yeah.
Okay, we there yet?
Yeah.
Okay. right, let's go to case number one is in compliance in the continued cases. Case number two is in compliance. So we'll do case number three, CEB09-18-104 at 1224 Thompson Place. Is the respondent present?
Yes, ma'am.
Come on up.
Mickey Peterson, 6 Birchwood Trail. I'm here on behalf of my parents, Sean and Irene Mork, for 1224 Thompson Place.
Okay.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Jackson and who is doing this case?
Fitzgerald.
Underneath the line.
Mr. Fitzgerald. Okay.
Now, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for the imposition of a fine. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that this property remains in non-compliance. However, the respondent is going over and above. He's doing a great job. He's done extra work. He's doing extra work now that needed additional permitting. So it's taking a little more time, but the staff is requesting and desiring for that for you to allow that additional time based on the work that's being done. So the staff is requesting that you amend to the next amend to the March cutoff, okay, and obtain a progress report in January, just to ensure that he's still on track, but he's doing a great job. And according to the inspector, I attend the inspector, Mike Fitzgerald.
Okay. Mr. Fitzgerald, good morning.
Good morning, Michael Fitzgerald, City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement. My credentials are on file with the city. They've expanded the property. They've put a new roof on it. If you'll see this, they expanded that whole sort of undercover porch. And all that takes a long time, and they just got a permit.
That's what
for
I
the windows.
Okay. So the permit's done. I mean, they've applied for a permit.
They have permits
Okay.
They have permits for the work that's going on. They've got new permits for new windows.
Okay.
Sure.
Terrific. Do you have anything to add?
No, I agree with Mr. Fitzgerald.
Okay. Good. Okay.
Good.
All right. Any comments from the board? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until. What is it? March? I got to find my March. Here it is. Wait a minute. March 6, 2019, to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Do we need a progress report on this?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, he's been working on it.
No, we don't need it.
Yeah. Okay. So is there such a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Motion, Mrs. Himes, second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Just so I understand.
March
6th.
Right. Yeah, let him know.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Case number 5, CEB 11-4. All right. Case number 4, CEB 0918-106. The respondent present at 306 Fifth Avenue.
Yes.
Okay. Come on up and be sworn in, please.
Don Stiff, 306 Fifth Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida,
321.
Certainly.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that this property remains in non-compliance, however. He's asking that we amend to the next cutoff, and the reason is that the responding and doing the work, came across a situation where the electrical lines were too low. They had to be moved. That just occurred, I think, yesterday or something to that effect. And so now he will continue the work to comply, and Mr. Fitzgerald believes okay. He can have a compliance by next call.
Okay.
Attendant, Mr. Fitzgerald.
Mr. Fitzgerald, what it says here is no permit. Has the permit
right.
been issued?
The permit, yes, sir. Mike Fitzgerald, City of Daytona Beach. The permit was pulled, and it was approved, and see, it had to stop. If you stood up and put your hand up, you
yeah.
could hit any of those lines at that point, and it was his line and his neighbor's line was going across his property,
uh-huh.
which isn't allowed. So it all had to stop. And I'll let him tell
okay.
you when he can finish.
Yeah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
The project was started in error on my part. I admit that. I thought it was a freestanding structure, and with talking to different people, that I didn't need a permit for it. The house that I bought had a deck, but somewhere between me buying it, them selling it, and me buying it, the deck was removed, and it made the backyard unusable.
Right. Okay.
So that's why I carried out the work that you see.
Okay.
I did apply for the code, and for the permit, and got that.
Okay.
And there's a little confusion on my part. I thought that my, as far as the work being done, I thought that my being in compliance with you was to get a permit, mm-hmm. not to complete the work. So
right.
that
okay.
was the problem. Yeah. But I have had medical issues and surgery that I'm still not released from, and that has slowed things down too. But in the permitting process, they did identify that not only my line was too low
mm-hmm.
with respect to the deck that I am putting
mm-hmm.
up, but the neighbor's line was considered aerial encroachment over my property, and it was actually lower than mine. And it kind of swooped down over the top. So I had basically two power lines going right over the top of this deck. I started about 2.5 months ago working with, Florida Power and Light started about 2.5 months ago working with me on it. They sent the site supervisors out. Then about a month ago, they sent the people out to mark the pole location, new pole location. It's on the back corner of the deck, the southwest corner. And 3 weeks ago, they came out and trimmed all the trees. Yesterday, they came and moved all the lines. So everything's progressing.
Okay.
It isn't that nothing has been done to the property. There has been some stuff done. It's just stuff that doesn't really appear cosmetically. It's all structural.
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask, I know y'all are talking about the next cutoff. The permit did give me till March. And just due to my injury and recovering from that, I'm still going to physical therapy. I don't want to be in too much of a hurry. If you need me to get it done, I'll probably have to hire somebody. But if I can have till the end of the permit period, I'll be glad to give you an update if you like. But, yeah, so if I could have, because this is only half, okay? Because the rest of the fencing project goes all the way around the house. And it's, quite honestly, things that I would rather not do, except for I have undesirable neighbors, extremely. So, you know, I have to put a little bit more fence up than I really would want to.
Mm-hmm.
So, myself, I would ask for, a continuance with updates if you need till the end of the permit period. Otherwise, I'll do whatever you guys say to get it done.
How does staff feel about that? Are you still wanting the work done by the next cutoff?
I will say this. We had to have power lines lifted on a house with trees trimmed
yeah.
and everything.
Yeah.
And honestly, you're at the mercy of Florida Power and Light,
right.
and they are at the mercy of whatever storm they have sent their technicians to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I was told. I was told that they
okay.
couldn't get to that very quickly because
right.
so many technicians
okay.
went
okay.
up there. So.
All
right.
They agreed to do that. They agreed
okay.
to okay
and then,
we're good.
And then also, too, it's a costly thing because you have to pay for that as the owner. So it just adds...
Okay.
I feel your pain.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until March 6, 2019 to come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there,
second.
All right. Motion, Mrs. Heim, second. I think Mrs. House, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, now, you know, I know what the confusion is here, but... Case 5, CEB 11-18-145, Jason Balkin. We're here for a progress report, and it was continued from the November meeting. The compliance date is January 2nd. How are we doing on this?
Madam Chair, the inspector, Steve Alderman, and Ms. Alderman has advised me that the respondent works out of state, and so he'll go ahead and get a report.
Okay.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board. For the record, my name is Steve Alderman, Neighborhood Services Inspector for the City of Daytona Beach, and my records are on credentials are on file. This initially came before you in 8/20 on a complaint from a downed fence. The downed fence was removed by the owner, which allowed a unsecured pool. And so Mr. Balkin has been in kind of a bind, but he has obtained a permit with AAA fence, and the application of the new fence is going to go in between December 27 and December 29. It should be a one-day application, so he's still ahead of the requirements.
Good. Okay, excellent. All right. Does that satisfy everyone?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. We'll move on to case number 6, CEB 11. No, it was just a progress report.
Yeah.
Okay.
Case number 6, CEB 11-18-147, Track 3 LLC at 530 Seabreeze. Respondent present?
Probably not.
Okay.
This also was brought before you July.
July.
And now they have obtained a permit on December 10, 2018. The permit was approved. It's the awning over top of the pizza parlor across from the jewelry store.
Right.
I've spoke with the contractor, Angela Cooter, and I have her phone number, but that should be done before the end of the year as their schedule.
Okay.
If not, next month it will be a fine.
Okay. Asking just to...
amend to next cutoff.
Amend to next cutoff, correct?
Sorry.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow a respondent until the next cutoff, which is 1/2/2019, to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Okay. Mrs. House and made the motion, and Ms. Himes the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 7, CEB 11-18-149, Jerry Albro at 209 Woodland. Respondent present? Good morning, sir. State your name and address for the record.
Jerry Albro, 209 Woodland Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Okay, we'll hear from...
raise your right hand.
Well, I'm sorry.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Steve Alderman, and Mr. Alderman reports that this property remains in non-compliance. However, he is asking that we allow next cutoff for the property to come into compliance. I'll tender Mr. Alderman so he can explain that circumstance.
Okay. Good morning.
Yes. I have not met Mr. Albro until today, this morning. And as you know, it's been going on since 8/16 of 18.
Mm-hmm.
It was posted. I never had any communications, and I could not figure out what's going on, but there are some issues that Mr. Albro will have to discuss and let you know. But I want to say that Paul Zimmerman is involved. He has cleaned up the entire property. Actually, those are this morning at 7:30. So there has been a lot
difference.
Of progress.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Zimmerman is actually going to completely rebuild the front porch, get rid of all the big, replace all the big windows, and potentially support the carport. But at this point, he called me yesterday and said they didn't quite get the drawings done so he could get the permit in Friday. couldn't, okay. or yesterday he couldn't do it. But he expects that Monday or Tuesday of next week for the drawings.
And then they'll get the permits. So they
Correct.
Need the drawings
yes.
for the permits.
Is Paul okay. a neighbor?
Mr. Zimmerman is a member of the Bel Air community group.
Does he live on Woodland?
Very active.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know that. Okay.
So I'll let Mr. Albro.
Okay. What can you tell us?
I'm just trying to get it done as soon as I can get it done.
Okay.
Paul's working with me. David Leet is doing the drawings.
Okay.
And I think he got back from vacation and kind of got a little slow. I don't know, but we've been working on trying to get that permit.
Okay. I mean, it really looks like there was a lot of work done.
There was.
And that's a good thing. Mr. Alderman, when do you expect we could get this work done? But I appreciate the effort on that.
At this point, Paul, I'm kind of working with Paul so that they focus on the things that I found initially,
right.
which is the windows,
right.
the landscaping, and some of the stuff that's laying around the property. And if they get that by the end of next, or by if we amend this till next month, mine will be done, and they'll continue on with the other stuff on the inside.
Yeah, okay. I get it. All right, so what we'll do is amend the, comments? Seems to be working.
I'd like to ask, are you living there?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until the next cutoff date, 1/2/2019. To come into compliance or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
So moved.
So moved.
Okay, motion, Mrs. House, a second?
A second.
Oh, with Hines.
Okay, second, Ms. Roby, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. All right, case number 8 is in compliance. Case number 9, CEB 110-18-138, Rodney Dunkley at 587 Brentwood. Respondent present.
Rodney Dunkley, 587 Brentwood Drive.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm
that
the
testimony you're
about to provide is the truth,
the whole truth,
and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you put in position of a fine. The inspector is Barbara Collins, and Ms. Collins reports that the property is currently remains in non-compliance. However, they are working on it. And they've gotten permits. They have a roofers out there. They're moving forward. And so she would like to amend what I have here is amend to the next cutoff. I don't know if that's enough time. I'll have her address that. But she would like to amend at least to the next cutoff
right,
so that they can get the job completed.
Just
and
I'll
turn to Ms. Collins.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Barbara Collins, code enforcement for the city of Daytona. Credentials are on file. He got his loan, and he's got the roofers on, and they're doing the roof. You see,
okay.
they were doing it yesterday. They were on there.
Okay.
So the permit has been issued, and roofers are doing. They're going to replace all the rotten wood and everything. Then it has to be painted. I'm asking, actually, for the February cutoff.
Okay.
Give them.
Okay, so, aside from the roof, there are other things that, so the whole house needs to be painted, and or has that been done?
No.
Okay.
It has to be painted after
okay.
the wood's replaced and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so replace the wood and the paint.
Yeah.
Any
Could
comments
he?
From the board? Looks like you're working on that, so I'm okay with it. Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until 2/6/2019 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Until compliance is achieved. I didn't give you a chance to talk, but is there anything you'd like to add?
No.
Okay.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Now, where are we?
Page four.
In compliance, case number 10. In compliance, case number 11. We'll move to case number 12.
I have questions.
Okay.
On
there we go. You had the question on case number 11.
I'm looking at the minutes here of the last meeting. Basically, we were asking, Mr. Jackson was going to bring us pictures, and we were going
right.
to do all these things, and it says so in the minutes, Mr.
It does
Jackson.
Say in the minutes.
Yes. I'm sure if we looked at those minutes, they would be very, very interesting. However, we had the benefit of four attorneys and 45 minutes of staff time on that issue, and we were not in anywhere in agreement that that was in compliance. What I would like to know is what the difference in the property is when we had that meeting last time and now that makes it in compliance.
The minutes are page 8 on the minutes. And the case was continued for progress report and the determination of a compliance date.
The last item, it says Mr. Jackson asked for clarification that he could send pictures of the completed job to the next meeting and
the
return.
The owner. Right. Well, the attorneys would send pictures.
Yeah. Well, it says Mr. Jackson.
Asked for clarification.
He asked for clarification. Okay. But I think the intention is that he could send pictures.
Okay, whatever. What I really want to know is what transpired to put this in completion, because we spent 45 minutes and we had four top-notch attorneys in attendance there. If it was in completion last time, why didn't we just make it in compliance? What's happened? I believe it was boarded up and painted last time, and that's what you're saying makes it in compliance.
Yeah, I kind of believe that there was some question or at least some dissatisfaction about the overall appearance last time, and that there was some discussion about the painting. And while I know you're saying there were numerous attorneys working on it, I was here representing the staff and the council representing... His name is
Mr. Elkin,
who was here representing the respondent. Other than that, staff was speaking, and the circumstance is and hadn't really changed. That the perspective of staff was that this seawall was damaged to where it was causing entry and threat of harm. So that was what was being requested, that it be secured. And then it was also requested it looks better, it looks nice. And so that was what the...
What has happened to that?
Well, that was the perspective of compliance from the code staff, was that this would be secure so that people aren't at risk and that it has the appearance that this board had requested in terms of a better appearance. And so the staff concluded that was satisfactory. That they satisfied that compliance element, and that's why this property has been listed as being in compliance. But
case, the complaint, the violation is damaged seawall.
That's correct.
Is the seawall repaired? That's my question.
Well, I believe that there were a lot more, as we all had discussed, there were a lot more developmental issues that would be for this ultimate.
Correct, and I think what our intent was, as I recall, was we wanted to keep up with this and have reports on how it was progressing, whether they had made application to state agencies It is still a damaged seawall.
Yeah, and I have tremendous respect for the concerns that's
been
raised.
And I think that's what we were
Now, I'm confused.
Okay.
Because I thought we were dealing on this property with the one section there that we wanted corrected.
No, that it was not just that.
That because they had put something there that didn't look too good and was supposed to redo it. Now it's the whole thing.
Well, it always was.
Well, Madam Chair, again, I have tremendous respect for the perspective of the board and the chair, and what the board was looking for, and I believe that the staff understood that as well. I have to the perspective that's being expressed by Ms. Hines is the perspective of code staff, that what they were seeking and what they were solving was an opening that was a hazard.
Correct.
And an appearance that would be satisfactory.
Okay.
And so those things, as far as the code staff's review, was satisfied and compliant. There are other issues that this property has that may be of concern to members of the board, but those were not the issues that have been at least from the code's perspective, the issues that are code enforcement issues, the developmental issues that are still being dealt with and being handled by development.
Let me ask you one more question. What would we do with another property that had a damaged seawall? Would that be something we'd cite?
I don't know.
Not me.
But Madam Chair, we would handle each one as they arise.
Hold on a second. First of all, I got very disturbed over this whole tone of this discussion because their attorney's not here. We're discussing issues concerning anything. All right. You want to put it back? If somebody wants to put it back on the agenda and want to reconsider something like that, they found in compliance.
Okay, that's true.
We all agree or disagree.
Okay.
But I'm real concerned about discussing the merits of this case without their counsel being here.
Okay. I tend to agree with that. So.
This is in compliance. I think the board is concerned, though, that they want this property to be looked at again and again. Just if there is other things that violations, they want you to bring them back to us.
Certainly.
I don't know if there is. We're not saying there is.
Right.
Certainly. And I understand the board's concern. I think staff understands it, and we'll respect that as we continue to go on.
I understand the issue of discussing this case without someone here, too. I'm just going to drop that discussion.
All I asked was what was the difference between the end of the last meeting and this finding and code, because my understanding is that it was painted and sealed up last meeting. So why didn't we just find it in compliance?
It still needed to be painted,
and that's what occurred.
Okay. It doesn't make a difference
from the last meeting to this meeting.
Steve said it's in compliance.
It's in compliance, right? Okay, thank you. All right, now we'll move on to case number 12, CEB 08-18-74, Pelicano Crusher Corporation at 1169 Indian Lake Road. No BTR. All right, Mr. Jackson. Oh, are you?
No, she's part of.
She's working.
Staff.
Sorry.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the board, this matter was before you from a position of a fine. The inspector report said, as we know, this has been coming up for some time. This has been since April of 2018. It's anticipated, though, that it will be completed within the next 2 weeks. And because of the expectation that it will be completed in the next 2 weeks, the inspector is requesting that we amend to the next cutoff and allow for the completion of the job. They have been working, and once they got all of the permitting and everything that was necessary, I would tender Mr. Reckonzone, but that's his report.
All right. So, Mr. Reckonzone, they have all the permits they need.
Yes.
What's the holdup now since we've been working on it?
It's the actual construction, and they're just finishing up what they need to do to come into compliance to put the property where it needs to be to start the business.
Okay. And you think they can do that by the next cutoff?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In the next 2 weeks.
Okay, they're that close.
They're that close.
Okay. Yeah, because that cutoff comes real fast.
Yep.
All right. Any discussion? from the board? Chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until the next cutoff date, 1-2-2019, to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion? Oh. Okay, well, we don't have a motion yet. Did you want to say something? Are you the... Come up.
And this clarification, the only issue is for not having a BTR, so it would be a maximum of $250.
Right.
One time home.
Right. Hi. Good morning. Be sworn in, please.
Hi. Good morning. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, and all truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Could you say your name?
Maria Sindran.
Okay, did you want to say something? We're giving you extra time to the next cutoff is what we're considering
next
doing.
Month?
Yeah.
Yeah, we hope to be done by the end of December, so.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, so back to the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance law respondent until 1-2-2019 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
$250.
It's a business.
All right,
size.
A one-time price. Fee of $250.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So it's amended.
So as amended, is okay. There such a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Harrington,
second.
Second, Mrs. House. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. All right. Case. Number 13 is in compliance. Case number 14, 11-18-141 at 113 North Hollywood. Is the respondent present? Okay, Mr. Jackson?
Yes, ma'am. Chair, members of the board, this is before you feel in position of a fine. The inspectors Cliff Reconcile, Mr. Reconcile reports that we are still pending the initial inspection, so that's expected over within the next week, I think you said? Within the next week, so we're asking that we amend to the next cutoff so that we can get this all taken care of with determining what all needs to be done and giving them the chance to comply with our determinations. Attend to Mr. Reconcile.
Okay, this has been going on since March. Right? What's the holdup?
This month, it's been in the process of the rental program process.
Okay.
So they've paid their fees. They're just waiting for the attendants to get ready to set up an actual time for the rental inspection.
And the roof is there any way to anticipate how long that will take?
All the exterior violations that I had on the property have been put in compliance.
Okay.
We're just waiting on the interior.
Okay. And are they set up to have a rental inspection?
That's what's being worked on right now. They're in contact with them.
And so what are we asking for? What is staff asking for here?
The next cutoff?
Yep. Because that gives you 2 weeks to, you know.
Yeah, Madam Chair, unless there's some, they don't really know that or anticipate that they'll find anything, but if there's something that requires more work, then we'll acknowledge that and when we return.
Any discussion from the board? Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until January 2nd, 2019, to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. Now, on page 5. New cases. I was going to say something, but I'll wait. It seems to me like we continue an awful lot of cases. Is that something that we need to do? I mean, it's fine to do. It's fine with me. But And it's because we don't know how long exactly something will take, and then the case comes up over and over again with, I don't know whether that just clogs up the works or.
Well, that's why we have, we hear from the respondent. If they say there's set circumstances, if they don't show, I don't have a lot of sympathy.
Okay. Okay. All right, our new case, case number 15, CEB11-18-150, Paxson LLC, and the new owner, Mr. Farrell, 121 Lockhart.
My name is Faizu Hanif on behalf of Munir Al-Farah. My name is Faizoolhanif for Munir Al-Farah. I'm the only new owner, and this is the previous owner, which is his company is Paxton, which is Mr. Lee.
Are you going to testify as well?
Lee Johnson. I'm a managing director with Paxton LLC. The address is 8520 Garden Way Road, Groveland, Florida.
Okay, raise your right hand. Both of you, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, all truth, and nothing but truth?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Jackson and Mr. Reckonzon.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for the determination of compliance or noncompliance. This was continued from the prior meeting because we did not have the new owner, and so once the new owner was noticed, that's why we're here at this meeting. The inspector is Cliff Reckonzon. Mr. Reckonzon reports that the property is currently non-compliance. They are doing work and getting what they need done for compliance. He believes that it can be resolved by next cutoff. I did want to address one other issue. Last meeting, we had the issue of Mr. Johnson's concern about us keeping Paxton on, and we kind of discussed that and actually disagreed with Mr. Sino on his perspective. And then after I reflected on that perspective, I really changed my mind. And so I'm okay. In fact, I would recommend that Mr. Paxton be dropped and that we amend this to only show Mr. Farrer as the owner, and that this was something that was changed before we had our initial proceeding. So that would probably be the better resolution, and so I would ask that we do that as well.
Okay. But you're recommending the next cutoff, correct?
Correct. We're recommending next cutoff.
Okay. Would you like to speak, Mr. Farrer?
Yeah, this is John Chair. Again, I repeat, pleasant good morning to the board and the chairman. I would like to see Mr. Lee Johnson be removed from or exonerated, if I'm correct, from any his presence, violations, etc. I hold the responsibility of continuing.
We'll
the...
We'll hold you responsible.
Yes. So, if Mr. Lee has any comments, he's here, and so I'd like to put a tick on that. I'm sure our inspector, Mr. Lee Reckonzon, was at a general meeting with me, and he can tell you that progress was made. We spent quite a bit of funds, and we're going to continue doing so. There are a few issues where there's a stack on the roof needs to be either replaced or refurbished, and we will also have, there is a shed which has to be replaced with the galvanized. We'll pull a permit for that. There is a few other issues. The windows, and I recommend that we don't like how it looks. It's old. I'm going to have a contractor pull a permit and replace those windows.
Okay.
Because this property can be owned by owner.
Right. Okay.
vote. Unless Mr. Right. Record.
That's fine.
If I may just add
go ahead.
Based on that.
Sure.
Mr. Records, I want to acknowledge we did mention the accessory structure, and he will have to pull permits. In fact, he has to pull a couple of permits, so February would probably be
okay.
a better cutoff date than
okay.
the January date.
Fine. Okay. The chair will entertain. Does anybody have any questions from the board? The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by February 6, 2019, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day, and further authorizing that Paxson LLC be dropped from this case, that name be dropped from this case. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Harrington, second. Mr. Jones, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number 16-1218-162, Roy Helton at 1348 Woodbine. Mr. Helton here? No, he's not.
He's not a hearing kind
of okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Cliff Reconcile. Mr. Reconcile reports that he's had communication with the respondent. He says he'll be in compliance by the end of the month. So we're going to ask for noncompliance and next cutoff to come into compliance. Send to Mr. Reconcile if you have any facts or questions.
Anything you want to add to that? Okay. Have they done anything yet?
They removed some of the junk vehicles. I don't know if that was done
okay.
by him or by the law enforcement.
Actually, he did it. I was surprised.
Okay. So. All right. So the chair will entertain any other questions? The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance or a respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, January 2nd, 2019, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mr. Jones. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Ms. Groby. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Case number 17, CEB 11-18-143, Reginald Copeland. Respondent present? Oh, boy. Okay.
Madam
Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Barbara Collins. Ms. Collins reports, and I can tell you report as well, that Mr. Copeland has had communication from staff. In fact, even I met with him on issues related to this. It's the staff report said this property remains in noncompliance. Or we're asking that it be brought into compliance by next cutoff.
Okay, there are the. Those are
all.
That was from before, right?
No, that's another.
Case. Oh, that's.
Okay.
That's the same one.
The carport and the that side of the roof. That's the other.
Okay. Oh. Come on the record.
You want to thank
is that from a previous case?
Yeah. That's the 587 Brentwood. It's the carport, and he's very emphatic about not being on his property, so I'm taking it from the street kind of at an angle. I don't know.
But he hasn't done anything?
He hasn't pulled any permits. The only permit he has pulled is an electrical, and that was just issued 11/29. He's repairing junction boxes.
Property occupied by a renter.
There was a tenant when I first sighted him. My understanding that tenant is gone. I don't know if the property is occupied or not. I haven't had contact. He's had contact with city staff. So
all right.
I can't.
Case number 9. Was an old case, right?
Right.
That's the same address?
No, that's 587 Brentwood.
587.
Yeah, that's
all
the
right,
gentleman.
Let's clarify this now. Okay, so we're talking about
724 Mercedes.
Okay. 1348 Wood. No.
724.
Okay, so what? Okay.
We're on case 17.
Yeah, we're on case 17. I see that. What I don't understand is what the pictures were looking at, I guess.
Well,
there's
I have two.
He went letter on. Never mind. He went letter on the property.
Okay, never mind. Okay.
There is the carport. There is a picture. It's just at a distance.
Yeah.
That you can see that the carport and that needs to be.
We do need to determine whether they have a renter or not. Otherwise, they don't need a rental license, do they?
Well, it's been historically rented. It's been held out for rent. It's been on and off rent. So at this point, it would need a rental license unless it indicates it's no longer a rental property.
That's
it's
what
not
I'm
a,
saying.
It's not an owner-occupied property. Or,
yeah.
So to the best of our knowledge right now, it's a rental property.
So every time he rented before, there was no agreement.
Okay.
Is there any particular reason why he won't let you on the property?
I think he's just a city hater.
Well, then now's the time to...
I mean, I can go to the front door.
Right.
But to take that picture, I took it from the neighbor's yard and the street.
Okay. Go ahead.
So the two motions here, one for roof repairs and one for licenses.
Okay. What?
There's two motions, one for roof repair.
No.
No.
No, the whole thing.
The whole thing is lumped.
Yeah, and Mrs. Himes just made a motion to find the respondent non-compliance and ordered him to come into compliance to the next cutoff date, which is 1-2-2019, to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000.
Second
by Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. All right. Yes. Yes.
We have one,
Please come forward.
Which is case 22.
All right. Case number 23. We'll take that. What? You guys come up?
No.
No? Not case 23?
Yeah.
Okay. 900 South Peninsula, number 202.
Yeah.
Good morning. My name is Jenny Lobenberg, Lobenberg. I'm with Team Real Estate Management. I represent the owner. Keep it up.
May I ask you a question?
Yes.
We have on our docket several cases, all with the same identical address.
Right.
Are you representing all of them, or
yes.
just?
Well, there's different units in this particular condo, so it's the same address, 900 Peninsula, but different unit number.
Different units. So.
Raise your hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Are you representing all of them?
Yes.
Okay.
22, 3, and 4. 21 is actually the start business where you're representing all of them.
Yes.
21, 22, 23, and 24 are all the same address. Do we need to consider them all separately?
They're different unit numbers.
And different,
I get that.
Different owners?
Yes, probably. Well, not probably, yes. We need to consider separately.
Yeah, make separate motions.
All right, we'll just make separate motions
then. Go to 21 then.
But let's start with 21 then.
Yes, Madam Chair, the situation is that this is a, I guess we'll call them condo units. It's an apartment complex. It's a Newport apartment, I guess it's what?
Newport
condos. Okay, condos. So each one of my individual investments individually owned. So each one has the individual responsibility for, if they are renting, to have rental licenses. Unlike if it was a facility that was for multiple.
Is this a residential condo or business condo?
It's a condominium.
So they're allowed to run businesses out of their homes?
They're not running businesses. They're renting the condo. So as rentals, they need a rental license.
Okay.
Individual.
Right.
Rental license.
Okay.
So with this, each one of them, that's the exact same report, that they each one of them individually are rentals, and they don't have rental licenses, and they were cited, and now they need to obtain a rental license, have the inspections, and so forth.
Okay.
So as the 21, as the circumstance, I don't believe Mr. McCoy have anything else, but I'll turn to Mr. McCoy.
Anything to add? Seems pretty straightforward. We'll just have to do four separate motions, that's all.
No, ma'am, I don't have anything close to that.
Okay. Ms. Woldenberg, are you the owner?
No, I'm with the management company who was hired by the owner to manage the properties.
Manage that one property or
manage
all of them?
All of them.
Okay.
Yes.
And what is the name of your company?
Team Real Estate Management.
Team Real Estate Management.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hold on a second.
And you manage only these four or the entire building?
I don't know how many units in the total complex, but we have about 17 of them. And we've been managing them for the past around 5 years.
Are all of the units independently owned?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. All right, so what would you like to tell us?
Okay. What's the total number of units?
In the entire complex?
Yes.
I believe possibly maybe 200.
Wow, okay.
In that unit?
Wait.
No, there can't be.
No, that's just
there's only like maybe 25 units in there, right?
How many units are in
Newport?
Newport
apartment.
Total, I don't know
condos.
Because we only manage
okay,
certain.
Okay, how about a guess?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
In the entire community, maybe
yes.
Less than 200?
200.
My inspector suggests about 33.
Oh, I hey, what?
My inspector says it's about 33.
Okay, so I think that we manage maybe about 200 in Daytona area.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No.
Just that one. Just talking about
it's this a small building.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 33. Okay,
so
go ahead.
We run into situations where, yes, we have paid for the licensing, but in order for it to become active, we need the inspection. So these residents sometimes do change the locks, don't allow entry, aren't there for the inspection.
Are you talking about the renters?
The renters inside of the unit.
Okay.
So they are given the date of the inspection. They either don't open the door, don't show up, or don't give us access. So I'm kind of caught whether if it's lawful to just set a date, change the locks, and allow entry.
That's not anything I can answer for you.
Yeah, so
or anybody on the board.
So that is, I guess that's where we're running into the problem where they're just not allowing access.
Is there any legal relationship between these companies, or are these all
separate
companies?
Some of them are separately owned. Some investors have bought 3-4 units.
Is there a name of an investment company that owns these?
For example, this particular one, I have to see which unit number
it
is.
No, I don't mean the one. Does one own all of
No, separate
they're
owners.
All just happened that they all moved into this one complex.
Yes, they were sold as an investment units, and we managed them for the
okay.
owner who owned
Can I make a suggestion on when you do these with these people, these companies, you tell these people not to change the locks or they will be busted and they will have to repair at their cost? Because if these people are just going to not let you in as the rental company,
right,
then this should all fall back on your company since you're managing for 17 units there.
Right.
You should be able to go in.
Okay.
If there's a flood or something,
okay.
How you can get in.
We really, okay, I just have to tell you, we really can't suggest to people how to handle their cases. they can figure that out staff or their own attorney.
My thought was setting a date, going with a locksmith.
Yeah, that
them. Okay.
That is not up to us. We are here today to find out whether these properties are in compliance, in non-compliance. That's it.
Well, they're all going
to
be in.
Okay. So, and we have to do it in four separate motions.
Okay.
All right. And we'll start with case number CEB-12-18-163. Chair, I'll entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance or respondent committed to compliance by the next cutoff date, 1-2-2019, be returned to the board for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All right. Motion, Mr. Roby, second. Mr. Jones, all in favor say aye.
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 All right. Case number CEB-12-18-164. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and a respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date to be returned consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Roby, second. Mr. Jones, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Case number CEV1218-116.
166.
The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance or respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, 1-2-2019, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Ms. Roby, is there a second?
Second.
Second, Ms. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Case number on that last page, CEB12-18-167. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance or respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, 1-2-2019, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Ms. Roby. Second?
Second.
Second, Ms. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
I have a question. When you rent these apartments, do you tell these people they need these rental license?
It is within the lease contract that we have to give them a minimum of 24 hours to enter. They cannot change the locks. They have to allow entry.
Right.
But if they do change the locks or don't allow us entry, then we can rent.
But they're aware they have to get one of these licenses.
The owners?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We have paid for the licensing. It's just not active because of the inspections not been done.
Okay.
Let's go back and finish up a couple other cases we have. Where did we leave
number
off?
19.
Number 19.
So all we have is 19 and 20 now?
Right.
Okay. Case number 19, CEB12-18-160. Helping Hand LLC, 644 Bellevue. Respondent present? Okay. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, the inspector in this case is Jerome McCoy. This is before you for determination of compliance and noncompliance. Mr. McCoy reports that there was an initial inspection done. There's a reinspection that needs to be scheduled. It hadn't been scheduled, and so he was left to have to bring it before the board because they hadn't taken care of that. And they're currently in noncompliance, and he's requesting next cutoff for them to be into compliance.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Any questions for Mr. McCoy? All right, Chair, I'll entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance or respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is January 2nd, 2019. Or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Ms. House. There's a second? Second, Ms. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Last case, number 20, CEB12-18-161. I'm not even going to. Evgeny. Petrushevich. Best I can do at 350 North Charles.
Did a great job.
Madam Chair, members of the board, same situation as the prior case. The initial inspection was done, needs a reinspection, and taking care of that. So it's been now being brought before you. The property is currently in noncompliance. The inspector is Jerome McCoy. He believes it can be in compliance by next call.
Okay. Any questions for anybody? Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance or respondent committed compliance by the next cutoff date, January 2nd, 2019. Or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day for such a motion.
So moved.
All right, motion, Ms. House, second, Ms. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. End of cases. Any miscellaneous business?
Yeah, just wanted to, I know we have some new members. Want to welcome them again.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about possibly another training session, maybe sometime next year.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds great.
Want to think about that? Especially we have
Just tell me when.
Two, three new people.
We have three?
No, two.
Two.
No, two. Yeah.
Yeah.
You do. One,
two. It's a lifetime job.
It's a lifetime job. It's like Supreme Court. Again, if anybody has any questions, please feel free at any time to bring them up. especially the 1-2 they have New Bedford.
All right.
And I applaud the winter and the Christmas. And,
thank you. Merry Christmas, everyone.
I normally come with my Christmas apparel this time of year, but I didn't do it this
time. You got a red tie.
Yeah, they try and get it in the tie. Good. You should wear my green.
Okay.
Would you please defer my Christmas bonus till after?
Absolutely. All right, we got you covered.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
In regards to a big condominium complex, which I live in, we are required by the fire department to have access emergency keys for the fire department in the event that you can't get in. And if they say they can't get in because they have changed the locks, that, to my knowledge, is illegal. You can't do that. You have to have access in the event of a fire.
Right. Sound like something we may have to look into.
Can you make a referral to the fire department or their code? Because they came down hard on us when somebody changed a lock and they couldn't get in.
Well, we wanted to say, I'm sure code is taking note.
We just had five cases,
I'm definitely not a fireman, but I don't think that's a law. That may just be a rule that your building requires.
Well, I'm making all
these comments. All right, but a lot of us up here have some involvement with rental properties, and but we can't give rental people advice,
right?
Because we're not lawyers.
And of course, we're quasi-judicial.
Right, and we're quasi-judicial, and you don't want that to come by. Well, you told me I could do that.
Well, that's an accident. Right, and we actually have an example. I think it was the case out of Jacksonville, where the things that were said ultimately resulted in substantial liability on the folks who were saying it from the board.
Right.
So you got to kind of just be cautious and wise. And,
right.
And,
don't
I think that it's pretty petty for them to say, well, they won't let me in.
Exactly. Well, we know that.
Yeah.
And so we're not fooled by that kind of testimony.
It's like they're coming from March and April.
I agree completely with you. We're not fooled by that. So I
break the doors down.
One of the things as a trial lawyer, we always get to say was use your common sense. So you have that ability to use it, even though you can't necessarily express it. You can't say that doesn't make any sense, but you get to use it anyway and say.
That's why you're here, because you have the opportunity. We appreciate that.
Yeah, so we appreciate that.
But there's a lockbox at the fire department and the police department.
We're adjourned. 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 We're adjourned.